Engineer Bill, you are listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we have a crazy engineer in there, Pastor Jim.
Yes, we do.
He's a sweetheart, though. He's got a good heart. He may be crazy.
Crazy,
that's right. So anyway, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, you are joining me today. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister. We're excited to be on the air always. Don't we look forward to this?
I certainly do. I love being on the radio.
Oh, it's just a great, great time. And our theme song comes on and we're just
grooving.
We love it. We love it. We love it.
So if people are listening there and around the KLRG there in Little Rock, and if it's reaching over there into Joplin, Missouri, and give us a call if you're by a phone line. We'll give some prayers for you tonight.
Absolutely,
right?
Yes, because that's a serious situation that's happened over there. The phone number here is toll free 1-866-826-1340 or locally 727-441-3000. And yes, we agree with Engineer Bill that if you are in that area and you just want to touch base with a ministry here that can pray for you and with you about the situation over in your area, we want to do that. And our prayer support does go out. Pastor Jim, there's been so many heavy duty disasters, really, in the last few months, haven't there been?
Yes, sir,
I mean, in the last year, it just seems like there's been a lot of things, or a year and a half, go back to Haiti, how devastating mm-hmm. that was a year and a half ago. And there's been so many situations, Japan and situations here in our country, and our hearts go out to these people.
Yes.
And we really want to lift them up in prayer and pray that God send the help that's needed right away to those ravaged areas. So, and that's what the gospel is all about. It is not just about preaching salvation, and we're going to talk today about a step further beyond that salvation. But it is also doing good works and helping those in need.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, and James, you know,
yes.
James, the brother of Jesus, said, okay, you show me your faith without works, I'll show you mine by my works.
That's exactly right.
Our faith.
James chapter 2.
Right, well, our faith and our salvation is not based on works. We're saved, Paul says, to do good works.
To do good works. Praise God. Amen. That is what it's all about. And so there may be people in your life out there in Radio Land that need a hand up and or a leg up, so to speak, mm-hmm. and need a sack of groceries or need a light bill paid or something that
right.
you can reach out and do. And be sensitive to those needs in your community, wherever that might be. This radio show is live, not just in the Tampa Bay area, but we're also live in 8 different states now at this time. Plus, of course, the website
right.
where you can hear right now, any part of the world, www.tantalk1340.com. If you're in the Tampa Bay area and you want to switch from your radio signal to the internet, that is where you find us. And it is current. It's on right this moment, www.tantalk1340.com. And that's really cool. That's the website, and you can just push listen and get right in there. Actually, they can see us, Pastor Jim, and you in your bright green Beacon of Hope shirt.
Well, like I said, after church, I had to go home and put on my radio garb.
Your radio garb. Get our beacon shirts on.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, I I did not, but that's all right. But we're so glad you've joined us today. We love doing these radio shows. We love ministering the Word of God to you. And it blesses us, too. I mean, yeah. it really does something on the inside of us, doesn't it, Pastor Jim? When we sit here and talk about the truth of God's Word, it reminds us over and over again that God has a plan for our lives, right. That he's not done with us yet, that he's working, you know, in our lives on an individual basis and knows our needs and knows mm-hmm. what we need, yet wants us to pray and believe and ask him for those needs to be met.
Well, and I think that's just a reminder. I think, you know, God promised, he said, before you ask, I'll hear you.
Exactly.
But he still wants us to ask, and I think that's just a reminder to us that we need him.
Oh, amen.
You know, he could even, you know, God knows our minds. He
right.
could provide us with whatever we needed. But it's just a reminder, I believe, to us when we pray that our dependence upon God.
Oh, absolutely. And we realize that when he says, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall knock, you know, all of that. He's telling us to do this. And in fact, that those verses in Matthew chapter 7, I believe, mm-hmm. are in the present participle tense, are they not? Ask and keep on asking is what it really literally means. It doesn't say ask once and let it go, but right. ask and keep on asking. And we've really been talking about that lately, haven't
we? Yeah, it's the present imperative. It's
yes.
just a continual action. It's not something.
Absolutely.
You don't just knock once, but God, and I think too, it's keep on asking and you'll keep on receiving.
Yes.
Keep on knocking and the door will keep on being opened.
Right.
Keep on seeking and you'll keep on finding.
Amen. So it's a process that we mm-hmm. enter into. And I think a lot of times, and we're going to talk about this on the show. I'm excited about this show today, Pastor Jim, because we're going to talk about the Spirit of Truth. And we're going to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we're going to get into some nitty-gritty things about the Holy Spirit.
I can't wait.
I love to talk about the Holy Spirit. I mean, he has so changed our lives and is changing mm-hmm. our lives on a daily basis. And is so working in us a fresh new work all the time. And that is exciting, mm-hmm. that he's doing something in us that we can't see, but we see the results of it, you know? We just begin to see, oh, wait a minute, I'm not as angry as I used to be,
right.
or I'm not as agitated or
fearful or,
right.
or on the positive thing, you know, I seem a little more loving.
Right.
Or a little more caring.
Exactly.
I'm able to show compassion easier.
Ooh, amen. Amen. And we begin to really get it mm-hmm. that the Holy Spirit is doing that work on the inside of us. So we're going to go into great detail today about the Spirit of Truth and the truth versus lies. Now, we have talked about this concept on the air here different times over the last few weeks, and I keep finding that it is still a fresh word for this moment in time, that the enemy is so wanting you to believe the lies that he throws your way. The discouragement that he tries to put on you, the depression, the anxiety, the fear, all of those things don't come from God. They come from the devil. And he so wants you to buy the lie. We even did a show a few weeks ago. I think you and I did it. Don't buy the lie. I think, and that was several weeks back, but it's on our website. And you mm-hmm. can go and you can listen to that. And it'll give you a lot of scriptures that help you as you learn to stand strong against the attack. And the lies of the devil, because
right.
he comes to do all that.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, and his goal is what, Pastor Jim? Let's remind our audience what the devil's trying to do.
The devil comes but to steal, kill, and destroy.
John 10:10.
Yeah,
what does that mean in practicality?
Well, he wants to steal. Well, practically, the devil wants to bind us up so much
right.
that he can steal everything from us. Kill us. He just soon
right.
kill our soul.
Sure.
And destroy everything that God wants us to have.
Exactly. And when God gives us a word of encouragement,
mm-hmm.
you know, because a lot of times on this show, we are doing that. We are giving words of encouragement to people. And so often when the truth of that word of encouragement comes out, the devil is right there ready to snatch it away from you, just like a pickpocket, you know?
Right. Well,
he's standing right there ready to just pick your pocket or pick your soul and take that word of encouragement away from you.
And Jesus said in the parable of the sower and the seed, if it falls on the rocky ground,
right,
you know, on the wayside, then Satan is going to come and pluck it out of your heart.
He's really going to try to take it from you. So today we're going to talk about the voice of truth and how you retain that truth and what you do with it. We're going to start off today on Living the Good Life with one of our favorite songs from Casting Crowns, The Voice of Truth.
To have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat and then onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do. The kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
Praise God. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And all those voices crying out to us. And there are. The devil manages to have all kinds of voices claiming and vying for your attention. Because the devil does not want you hearing the voice of truth. He wants you hearing all these other things, you know.
Well, because those other things are the things that are going to keep you away from the Father.
That's right.
You know, the voice of condemnation,
right.
The voice of guilt.
Yes.
The voice of fear.
Right.
You know, all those things can keep you away from the Father.
Oh, absolutely. And God wants us to run to Him and, mm-hmm. and receive the voice of truth. And that's what we're talking about today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We also have email up, and you can write me, us actually, right this moment at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. It ends in IES.com, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. You can just give a shout out. You can tell us that you're listening, or you can ask a question, or you can make a comment. We'd love to hear from you during the show today. We are always live in this radio station. This is Memorial Day mm-hmm. weekend 2011. So that's kind of exciting. We're always live, and I love being live in the station, don't you? I mean, it's just great.
I like being live in the station.
Versus on the phone.
Versus calling.
You've been on the phone a couple times. It's not easy, is it?
I would just soon drive over here.
Right. It's just not easy, is it?
No.
It's harder to come. And here we're interacting. We can see each other, and we can back and forth and know what the other's kind of getting ready to say.
Right.
And it's harder. So anyway, praise God. We're excited.
What about our lovely Carol? How's she doing?
Carol is doing pretty good. The publicity and the shows, you know, Diane Sawyer and all that about the breast cancer have been very good, very productive. But Carol lost her hearing in one ear a couple weeks ago. So she's really been going through a lot of testing. And thank you for asking, Bill. She'll be back on the radio here soon. She's been going through a lot of physical things. So our audience can pray for her. You just keep her in your prayers, because she's really had a lot of physical mm-hmm. issues, attacks really, since all that, you know, publicity with the breast cancer, TV spots and all of that happened for her. Anyway, all right, we're so glad that you're all listening today. Let's go to John chapter 15, and we're going to start with the last two verses of John chapter 15. And keep in mind, our theme today is to teach you about the Holy Spirit being the Spirit of Truth, and how this whole identity of the Holy Spirit impacts your life and my life. And if it's not the nature of the Holy Spirit not impacting your life, how it can do that, and what you will gain from learning about the Spirit of Truth. So, Pastor Jim, you want to read the last two verses of John 15?
Surely.
We'll start right there.
But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning.
Who's Jesus talking to here? Explain those two verses, if you will, Pastor Jim.
Yeah. Jesus is talking to, I believe Judas has already left, so he's talking to the 11. Possibly the women were hanging around, too. There's a
sure.
good possibility of that, because this was the night before the crucifixion.
Right.
But he's talking to the disciples, and he's saying, when the Helper... depending on which translation, you know, Helper, Paraclete, Counselor.
Well, in the Message Bible, it calls him the Friend. So he's called the Friend,
Advocate.
The Advocate, the Helper. Actually, there's seven meanings to his name. In the original Greek, Parakletos is that word, right?
Right, and it literally means one called alongside to help.
Exactly. Wow, so, that's pretty good that we have somebody called alongside us to help us. In whatever situations. But is that just limited situations, Pastor Jim? Do you want to explain that
to our
audience?
That's in any situation.
That is in any situation. He is the Friend, the Helper, actually those seven, and we'll talk more about them in a moment, Advocate. Which
like
is
a lawyer.
Right. Advocate, Helper. He's also our standby, our strengthener, our intercessor. Couple more.
Counselor
and comforter. That's what they are, right there, all seven. And we'll talk more in detail. If you want to grab a paper, we'll go over those with you in a minute. But this is who the Holy Spirit really is.
Mm-hmm.
So these two verses, Pastor Jim, what are they saying to you? We're in John 15, the last two verses of that chapter, which are verses 26 and 27.
Well, Jesus, the whole context is it's like his final pre-crucifixion teaching, and
right.
he spends a whole lot of time talking about the Holy Spirit.
He sure does.
And part
right before
of it
he goes
that,
to the cross.
Right, and part
yeah.
of it is that comforter thing.
Right.
Okay, reminding them, yeah, I'm going to go to the cross, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise again, eventually I'll ascend to heaven,
mm-hmm.
but he says earlier, I'm not going to leave you as orphans.
Right.
You know, he talks about sending the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And here he says it again, when the Helper comes, who I'm going to send from the Father, the Spirit of Truth. And he pressed that home two or three times in this
he
section.
He sure does. The Spirit
like
of Truth.
John
yes.
14 to the end of John 16.
Right.
Talks a lot about the Spirit of Truth. And then, you know, John, the apostle who wrote the Gospel of John and the letters of John, really presses that home too in his letters.
Right.
And, you know, the three of them at the end of the Bible about the Spirit of Truth. And John was big on that. And
yes.
He quoted Jesus saying that a lot, contrasting truth to error, truth to lies. And he says the Spirit of Truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. So
yes.
The Spirit.
Why is that important? And can you explain what that means, Pastor
yeah,
Jim?
Yeah, the Spirit bears witness to Jesus.
Right.
That's one way you can discern whether it's the Holy Spirit or not. If somebody
right.
says that they're speaking from God, well, does it bear witness of Jesus?
Oh, good point. Absolutely. You need to write that down in your notes, dear listeners. Does it really bear witness of Jesus? Does it
right.
point to Jesus?
Does it point to Jesus? Does
right.
it glorify Jesus?
Amen. Amen.
If it doesn't,
something's wrong.
It's very plain. It's not from God.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And then, you know, he says, and you also will bear witness because you've been with me from the beginning.
Right.
You know, you've been with me since the very beginning of my ministry. And listen, you're going to talk, you're going to bear witness, you're going to minister in my name.
Right.
You're going to go out and witness to what I've done because you've been with me.
Right. And you're going to make the points that Jesus was making
exactly.
so emphatically,
and
right?
You're going to make the points, do the works,
right.
show the love.
Ooh. All of
that
it.
That Jesus did.
And so this whole concept of the Holy Spirit being the Spirit of Truth is so vitally important to us. And I think it's not stressed enough a lot of times in churches, because the Holy Spirit, he leads you into all truth. It says in one of the verses there, he leads you into,
guides
all,
you into
truth.
All truth.
Yes, he guides you into all truth. Why does he want to do that for us, Pastor Jim? Why is it so important to guide us into truth? What happens to us if we're not guided into truth?
Well, that's kind of almost redundant. We're going to get off into error.
There you go. That's exactly right.
But and that, you know, and I don't want to actually make that very lightly, because we just have seen this past week,
right?
Error on a huge scale.
The May 21st
mess.
End of the world scare.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
You know, obviously that's not from God.
Right.
And then to change and say, well, okay, I was wrong. It's going to be 5 months from now. I'm sorry.
Right.
You know, that's error. That's
exactly
the spirit
right.
of error, because Scripture, the truth, plainly says, no man knows the day nor the hour.
That's right.
You know, we don't know when Jesus is going to come back, and it's not for us to set dates. Jesus said that to the disciples
right.
before he went into heaven. You know, because they said, okay, you going to set up the kingdom now?
Right. Well,
hint, hint. Now,
yeah.
now. Okay. And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times.
That's right.
That the Father has set.
But so many people still try to do this, Pastor Jim. We've seen in this down through history where people try to say that God revealed to them, okay, the end of the world is going to be this date, or God revealed this about somebody mm-hmm. in a service, or you know, they are trying to do the work that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, does. Because for whatever reason, notoriety, you know, whatever reason they might be doing that. But this has been a common problem down through the ages of people getting off into error. In other words, getting off into lies, distortions, and not being grounded in the truth of God's word.
Well, two comments to make.
Please, make
First
15.
First of all, in so many churches, the Holy Spirit himself is not a himself, it's an itself.
Uh-huh.
You know, right. So many churches talk about, and I may be stepping on toes here, but so many churches that were grounded in the Reformation.
Right.
Preach the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but don't live it, don't
right.
understand
yes.
the person of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
It's just the Holy Spirit becomes sort of the power of God, or the energy of God, or this ethereal sort of cloud out in the universe or something. But the Holy Spirit is a person.
Amen. Third part of the Trinity.
Who comes to live within us.
Yes.
Eternally
Amen.
And co-eternally and co-equally God, along right. with the Father and the Son.
Yes.
But a person, not just an energy or an it.
Amen.
He's a person and he lives within us. And the other reason I think people get off into error is, you know, the Spirit, Jesus said the Holy Spirit would bring to mind the things that Jesus said.
Right.
Okay, we weren't there with Jesus, so we couldn't hear him speak those things, literally with our ears.
Right.
But, and those of you that are watching can see me holding up my Bible.
Exactly.
We have the
Amen.
Word of God, which
Amen.
Is breathed out by the
yes.
Holy Spirit.
Yes.
This is truth. And I think that's the other place people get off into error. They don't know the Bible.
I totally agree with
they
you.
They don't read the Bible. They don't know the whole, and I say the whole Bible, because anybody can pluck out a scripture to
right.
prove any point.
Yeah.
Okay, it's like the story of the guy who picked up his Bible asking for guidance, and it fell open to the place where it says, and Judas went out and hung himself. He said, I don't like that, so he flipped it open again, and it said, go and do likewise.
Right.
Then he said, didn't like that, so he flipped it open again and said, whatsoever thou doest, do quickly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's...
Right.
That's, like
that's
not
the absurdity
the, right,
of
that's
it.
Not getting the whole counsel. Well... And then if you don't like what the Bible says, and I'm
right.
going to start
Go right
going
ahead.
Off here.
I'm
going to
look up a verse
if,
here.
If you don't like what the Bible says, so many people
yes,
down through time, starting with Martian in the 2nd century.
Right.
If you didn't like what the Bible said, you just cut it out.
Right.
You said it didn't really belong there. You just
right.
snip it out of the Bible.
Right, exactly.
You know, we've seen that happen.
Right.
Or you get your own little weird interpretation or... like a certain cultic denomination, you just make your own translation and go
right.
by that.
Right.
Or, like another cult, you just add a whole new set of scripture
right.
to the Bible.
Right.
You know, and that's error, because the 66 books of the Bible,
right.
Genesis through Revelation, are breathed out by God. This is God's word. No
right.
more, no less.
Exactly. Well, let's look at 2 Timothy verse chapter 3, verse 15 and 16 and 17. I love this, and it verifies what you're saying right here. And this was written by Paul to Timothy, and 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, all scripture. And, you know, there's always that running debate a lot of times about, well, there's other books that were found that were not included
right.
in that canon of scripture. Yet, one of the things that really helps me with that is, let's go to Psalm 118, and I find this fascinating. To me, this is just a real proof of the fact that the Bible that I hold in my hand is what God ordained it to be and wanted it to be. Psalm 118, if you will look at verse 8, says this. This is the center verse of the entire Bible. Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in men. I mean, how basic is that? That is the basic instruction mm-hmm. of the Word of God. That is the center verse of the entire Bible. Interestingly, some of you who like some facts and figures, there are 594 chapters in the Bible prior to Psalm 118, and there's 594 after that. If you add those together, that adds up to 1188, and this center verse of the entire Bible is Psalm 118:8, which is also 1188. How cool is that? Only God could do things like that, mm-hmm. Pastor Jim. Only God, you know? And the Holy Spirit breathed these scriptures. He breathed these concepts into the ones who penned them down.
Right.
And so often you hear people argue and say, oh, man wrote that. No, man did not. You have a rebuttal on that. I know you do.
You know I do.
Because I have heard you rebut that before.
Yeah, I mean, and Peter says that, here we go. 2 Peter chapter 1.
Okay.
Starting verse 19. We have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place.
Yes.
Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts.
Right.
Knowing this, first of all, this was important, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation.
Right.
For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Ooh, that's good. 2 Peter 1:19.
Starting with verse 19. And, you know, it's important. People just, the Scripture is not robotically written.
Right.
If you read, everybody's got a different personality.
Right.
John, James, Paul, Luke.
Isaiah.
The prophets.
Jeremiah,
right,
yes.
Moses, who wrote the first five books of the Bible.
Right.
They all have different temperaments, and that shows through, and that's fine.
That's cool.
But God gave them the words to say.
Amen.
You know, and that's what's so important, and to minimize or cut things out of the Word of God just doesn't work. I mean, and it's not like the canon of the New Testament. The Old Testament was pretty well set by the time of Jesus. I mean, that had been set by Hebrew scholars pretty much by then. It was confirmed shortly after the death of Jesus. These are the books of the Hebrew Bible.
Right. And they were on scrolls, were they not?
Scrolls.
And when Jesus stood up in the meeting place in Luke chapter 4, and he asked for a scroll, and they handed him
the scroll of Isaiah.
And
it's incredible because, you know,
so cool.
Well, even by Jesus' time, you had set for each Sabbath, you had the set Torah reading,
right,
and the Haftorah, which would be the prophets,
right.
So you, and it just so, it
like
just
the daily
so,
devotional. Yes.
Yeah, it just so happened that on that Sabbath, it was going to be that piece from Isaiah 61 that was read.
Exactly.
You know, God's timing is perfect.
Oh, perfect timing.
Right. And it,
yes.
Well, and with the New Testament, I mean, it didn't just spring up.
Right.
I mean, there was a development and,
yes,
and the qualifications to be in the Scripture where it had to be written by an apostle or an associate of an apostle.
Right.
It had to conform to the doctrine that was, you know, the church had. I mean, those are the two main things.
Yes.
There were some books that almost made it into the Bible.
Right.
The Shepherd of Hermas, Barnabas, the Epistle of Barnabas, and a few others, the Didache. But they just weren't quite there. We couldn't prove that Barnabas was really written by Barnabas.
Right. And
Shepherd of Hermas didn't come about till well into the second century.
Right. So by then, facts could have been distorted.
Right,
These
right.
were mostly eyewitness accounts.
Yes. The Gospels.
Right.
The Gospels, Matthew and John, are eyewitness accounts.
Right.
Mark was written by Mark, who was a disciple of Peter.
Peter. Right.
So he was writing down
what
probably
Peter was
Peter's
saying.
Peter's reminiscence.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Luke, the historian, he was with Paul when Paul was imprisoned in Caesarea.
Right.
Well, there's a perfect time to go out and start researching information for his gospel.
Right. So these are people that walked with Jesus or were closely associated with the disciples. And so that's where the veracity, the truthfulness of the word comes from, what we're talking about. And keep in mind that we read you 2 Timothy 3:15-17, that where Paul says all Scripture is God-breathed. Mm-hmm. It's given by God, and it is to correct you, to reprove you, to teach you, to encourage you. I mean, that's what the Scripture's about.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the voice of truth coming through the Word of God. It is there in your Bible for a reason, for you to be taught.
Right. Well,
you know?
And to paraphrase C.S. Lewis.
C.S. Lewis, he wonderful said, writer, yes.
You know, he made that comment about Jesus, that he didn't give us the choice. He's either, you know, Lord, liar, or lunatic.
Right.
And he didn't give us a choice to call him a great moral teacher. Well, it's the same thing with the Bible.
Right.
The Bible makes a lot of claims about itself all through itself.
Exactly.
And it does. I mean, either it is what it is. It is what it says it is.
Right. Or it's a big lie.
Or it's a big old lie.
And we know it's true because of how it affects us when we read it.
Yes.
How it changes our lives. The spirit of truth through the words on the pages of our Bible absolutely gets in there. And this is what the Holy Spirit does with the word. I love this. The spirit of truth that Jesus is talking about here stirs things on the inside of us and changes us.
Right, right.
Woo!
Well, the spirit is almost like, kind of getting back to the parable, the sower and the seed.
Right.
The spirit's almost like the rain.
Right.
As seeds are not going to grow without dirt, without sunlight, and without rain.
Exactly.
Okay,
gotta have
that. They need those. And the Holy Spirit provides that so that the seed of the word can grow and produce a harvest.
Exactly. And without those ingredients, you know, in our lives, we can't really grow. You know, that the scripture is often referred to as the water. The water is symbolic. Yes. Mm-hmm. And you got to have water for plants to grow, you know, just like you were saying, sunshine and all that. But so often, Pastor Jim, one of my frustrations as a pastor and having been one now for nigh on many, many years here, I see people who want the benefits of God and want the blessings of God, but don't want to put any kind of elbow grease, so to speak, you know, into learning what the spirit of truth is really saying in the pages of their Bible.
Well, and that's where people can get deceived. I mean, people will seek signs.
Right.
And we're supposed, you know, not to seek signs, but the one who gives the signs.
Exactly.
And people will seek sensation. People will seek. Well, Paul says in the latter days, people are going to go after doctrines because it tickles their ears.
Right.
And unless you know the word, your ears are going to get mighty. There's a lot of ear ticklers out there.
Well, I mean, this May 21st thing we just came through, a week ago?
Yeah.
Last Saturday was when the end of the world was supposed to be, right? May 21st. Okay. And here we are. Is that right? A week ago?
Over a week and a day now.
Okay, a week and a day. All right. So here we are, and this got a lot of publicity. It's a current event. The fact there were people that put up billboards, isn't that correct?
Mm-hmm.
People sold all their belongings
in order to put up the billboards.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, I read an article. I get articles from Charisma Magazine that are emailed. And the author of the article said, okay, yes, indeed, he was wrong. He was deceived. But he said one thing about his followers, they were sold out.
Yeah.
They were sold out for that.
Right.
And yeah, they gave all their money to put those billboards up. They were wrong.
Right.
But by gosh, every national news organization
was picking it up. Right.
And yeah, it made us kind of look foolish.
Right.
Us meaning Christians. But you know what? There's a lesson to be learned there, at least about evangelism.
Right.
You know, and being sold out to God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the bottom line here is that Jesus said you need the spirit of truth.
Right.
He said, I'm going back to heaven and I'm sending you. I'm in John 15, 26 and 27 again. When the friend I plan to send you from the Father comes, the spirit of truth. So he calls the Holy Spirit the spirit of truth. And he says, this comes from the Father. He will confirm everything about me. You too, from your side, must give your confirming evidence since you're in this with me from the start. So he's saying that the Holy Spirit is going to confirm that Jesus walked this earth and that he was the Son of God and that he did do what Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus right, with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed
of the devil.
By the devil. Not that we're oppressed by God, that we're oppressed by the devil. Those of you out there that take notes, you need to write Acts 10:38. We quote a lot of scriptures repeatedly on this show.
And that's certainly
and
one
that
of
is
them.
One of them that we do because it is so significant. And Peter said those words about Jesus. Did he not? I believe he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And how Jesus went about doing good and healing all.
All who were oppressed of the devil.
Woo.
For God was with him.
And God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power.
Right.
Okay, so this is where the Spirit of Truth comes in. That's the Holy Spirit. That is the power keg that we need. We've got to have the Holy Spirit. Yet, Pastor Jim, there are countless people around this world. They get saved and that's it. That's all they want. That's that 30-fold realm in God, which we taught on a few weeks back. The 30, 60, 100-fold is a parable that Jesus taught where he said, some of you are going to grow up, produce 30-fold, some 60. You want to comment on that while I get a drink?
Yeah. Well, and I think some people are just content.
Yeah.
Because maybe it's the way you look at salvation.
Right.
Is it just fire insurance?
Right. Is that all it is?
Yeah, is that all it is? Or is it a living, growing relationship
right.
with God? And I think as you grow, God's going to put that, if you're seeking to grow, and we'll just declare that our listeners are seeking to grow.
Amen.
Seeking to move forward
Amen.
With God.
We agree with that.
That God's going to put that hunger in your heart. And yeah, you can fight it.
Right.
Been there, done that.
Right.
But as I think as God puts that hunger, then you're going to seek a deeper relationship,
yes.
and you're going to want to move forward into that 60-fold relationship
right.
where you receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit and move ahead with God.
But Pastor Jim, there's so many people that are content with, quote-unquote, the fire insurance, getting saved, making sure they're going to heaven if Jesus comes back tonight, but they don't want anything more than that because it requires effort.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
It can be inconvenient.
Inconvenient. It requires effort. It requires dedication. It requires commitment. It requires giving something of yourself. And I find the older I get and the more I've ministered, there's so many people that don't want to make the sacrifices that are necessary to really grow in God. That's a frustration of mine and has been for years. And I continue. That's why we do this radio show, frankly, is to teach the word in such a way and at such a level that people can understand it mm-hmm. and hopefully say, I want some of that.
I want some of that. Yeah, I want that.
I want that.
Yeah, and well, I think that's part of it, that hunger.
Yes.
Speaking for myself,
right.
when I got saved, and I was thinking about it the other day, almost 38 years ago. I got
38
saved
years ago,
almost,
wow.
I'll be 38 years this October.
Okay.
I got saved, and for a little while, I was content, but I had a friend who was in the Bible study that I was in, and he went to an Assemblies of God church, and I went to that church the following summer.
Okay.
And I'd never been, you know, to a Pentecostal service or anything, but I got there, and first of all, it didn't seem weird, or I didn't, you know, that was the thing that struck me. Oh, this is really, I had a peace that this
okay.
was from God.
Okay.
But it put a hunger.
Oh, praise God.
I mean, it put a hunger in my heart.
Yes.
To know God this way. I
right.
mean, I knew God. I had a wonderful relationship with God.
Right.
Loved him. I was a Jesus freak. Okay, that tells you how far back that was.
Of the 70s,
For
huh?
all you Jesus freaks that are still
right,
out there.
Right, still.
Yeah, I was a Jesus freak.
Right.
And I loved God, but he showed me there was just that little peace
right
missing. There's something more that he wanted, that he had for me, and he
right.
put that desire in my heart to look for that.
Right, exactly. And when he put the desire in your heart, you could say, nah, that takes too much time and effort, or you could say, yeah, I want what God has for me.
Yeah, I was pretty, you know, sold out. I pretty much wanted everything God had. And I knew eventually that following fall, because I received the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit 37 years ago almost.
Right.
I knew what I was getting into. And I knew the possible outcomes. And yeah, it created, I'll tell you about it. Well, maybe I'll tell you about it today. It created quite a stir in my hometown.
Sure.
Just me. I mean, it was like a brush fire started.
Right.
It was an incredible thing.
And that's what the Holy Spirit does.
An incredible series.
Because you were starting to get on fire for God, mm-hmm. right? That brush fire thing where you're going, whoa, there's more than just getting fire insurance.
Right.
I want all God has for me.
And I want to give all of myself to God.
Yes. The twofold thing. Give me all you got, God, and here, I'll give you
all
of
me.
And, you know, that's where I think a lot of people miss it when it comes to really growing in God. It's one thing to want everything God has for us. It's another thing to say, I submit, I surrender
yes.
all to you, Lord. Because
Amen.
A lot of people don't want to do that, Pastor Jim. Why is that they don't want to do that?
Fear of losing control, I think.
Yeah.
That's how well it is for me. I mean, ever since Adam and Eve, we've wanted to be in control.
Sure.
But to submit to God, to be truly that living sacrifice,
right.
means we have to give up control.
Yes.
And we have to trust God to take care of us.
Woo, and that's huge. We're going to talk mm-hmm. more about that on the other side of this song by New Song, great song, One True God. Great new song. We like it, Connie. One True God by New Song. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And it's a joy to be on the air with you every single week. Tell a friend to tune in. That's what I'm trying to say. Tune in. There, I'm not tired or anything. You know, we are excited about what the Holy Spirit is doing in our ministry. Pastor Jim, you just started to say something, and I think a lot of our audience understands this, but maybe not everybody. We don't script these shows. We don't, I have a general idea as the pastor as to where we're going, but it hardly ever really goes where I think it's going to go. And we just
amazing
let the Holy
how God works
Spirit.
That out, huh?
It's kind of cool, isn't it? This is a perfect example of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding. And the show right now has taken a different turn than I expected, and it's really cool. I like it. So you said that when you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is that 60-fold time where the Spirit of truth, where you say, okay, Holy Spirit, I don't want just a salvation experience. I want all you have for me,
right,
Holy Spirit. And when you did that, let's go back to that. How old were you? You and I, oddly enough, are from the same university, Ball State University. I went there a few years before you do. Not many, but a few. And we didn't know each other.
Right.
And we met 3 years ago when you walked into Beacon of Hope. And yet we are from the very same area,
right.
Muncie, Greenfield, Indiana,
yeah.
All of that.
Indiana.
I went to Muncie Central High School. And
I went to Greenfield Central.
You went to Greenfield Central.
Go Cougars.
And we both went to Ball State University and didn't know each other, and yet God brought us together here 3 years ago.
Amazing.
In this ministry. Isn't that wonderful?
The human mind boggles. But
it
I mean,
is.
You can see, you know, you can see God moving and
bringing us together. And you're just such a wonderful asset to the ministry at Beacon of Hope, my associate pastor, who I love so very, very much. And we're just on the same page. And we have been from day one since you first walked into Beacon.
Well, and I've told you my story about that because I thought, I'm never going to walk into another church with a woman pastor.
Right, exactly. There's a lot of people out there that feel that way.
Let me tell our viewers this, okay? Don't ever tell God you will
there
never
you go.
Do something.
There you go.
Because he just might have you do that.
That okay? is exactly right.
But, yeah, like I said earlier, I'd gone to a friend's church, and it was an Assembly of God church, and God kind of put that hunger in my heart. Well, I go back to school the fall of 1974.
Right.
Yes, it was that long ago.
Yes.
And I was president of our resident hall, so I had to work the hall desk. Well, I was going to a church at that time. There's kind of an underground charismatic movement going on.
Right. Where people were getting filled with the Holy Spirit.
People were getting filled with the Holy Spirit.
And their lives were changing.
Right.
And this was on our campus that we both went to, Ball State University.
I found out from a friend of mine that there was, who went to the same church that I did, you know, there was a Bible study, and he had a book that was written by Hobart Freeman. And even though Hobart got a little loopy, this book was incredible.
It was a good book.
It was Why Should I Speak in Tongues?
Right.
And so I read it. And fortunately, that day, oddly enough, I had to open the hall desk and work for like 2 or 3 hours. And I had to close late at night.
Right.
So I brought my Bible and that book. And I spent all that time studying.
Right.
And then the next morning, I prayed to receive. I was convinced this was of God. God wanted me to do this.
God wanted you to receive the Holy Spirit, right?
So I did. I cherish it because I was all by myself. I just prayed by myself. I asked God to baptize me in the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
He did. I spoke
Amen.
In tongues.
Amen.
And there was nobody, you know, I've seen the abuses where people all stand around you and yell at you in tongues and expect you to kind of pick it up.
No.
Nobody can ever shake me from knowing that this was truly from God.
Amen.
Because I was by myself. There was no emotion. I just started doing it.
What you had verified in the Word,
the voice of
truth.
Right.
You saw the truth of the Holy Spirit and the teaching on the Holy Spirit.
And I accepted the truth.
Yes.
And woo, the truth set me free.
And how did it change your life?
Well, first thing I did was went to church, and my friend Gary looked at me and he said, "You received it this morning, didn't you?" And I said, "Yeah, how did you know?" He said, "I just know." So, because, I mean, I guess I was glowing.
Right.
So I wrote home. I was going to a Methodist church at this time, and we were all saved.
Right.
You know, we were all saved. But I wrote my girlfriend at the time and told her that I spoke in tongues. And I couldn't even, I was misspelling tongues. I remember that. I misspelled tongues right and left. But I told her, you know, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues. Well, I get back down there, the youth pastor, we had a long talk.
He probably didn't like that.
But the funny thing is, he and his wife were also kind of searching. They wanted to move forward.
Right.
Because he'd had somebody that he worked with at Eli Lilly was talking to him. And so they got baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Praise God. Now you're a bunch of radicals,
yeah,
right? In Greenfield, Indiana.
Got baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Oh, my.
And eventually out of this grew a youth ministry.
Yes. Praise God.
And it's funny, we ended up leaving that one church. We went back to that church. We went to a different Methodist church. But eventually also, we'd been attending a church in Indianapolis, started up a church for a while in Greenfield.
Right.
It's like a little brush fire started.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just an amazing thing that, you know, one person gets the Holy Spirit and
it changes.
But again, and I know we're going to talk about this in the second hour, it goes to Acts chapter 1, verse 8.
Yes.
Jesus said, you will receive power when
the
Holy Spirit comes upon you.
Right.
And you will be my witnesses.
That's
like almost a brush fire in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria,
Amen.
To the whole world.
And the reason I think that is, Pastor Jim, is when you really are truly filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not just your salvation experience, but you go on from that salvation experience and say, you know, God, fill me up, overflow me with your presence and your Spirit. And you truly fall in love with Jesus. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, when that becomes a part of your life, you can't help but talk about it. I'm sorry, but you can't keep this a secret when
right.
you are so full of the love of God, the peace of God, the truth of His Word. You become, it's almost like there's a deep hunger for the Word like you've never known. That's what happened to me when I received the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to read it all the time. I had to, and I had read it ever since I was a kid. But I mean, I had to read constantly and take in all, and I saw things I had never seen before.
I still see things.
Amen.
And I didn't grow up in a particularly, it was not a Christian household. We went to church.
Right.
And I never really read the Bible until I got saved. And at that point, that's when God really put a hunger for the truth in me.
Yes.
And, you know, even after all these years, the Holy Spirit still pops things out of the scripture.
Oh, all the time.
Turns them into
rhema
word,
yes.
personal word
yes.
for me.
Yes, he does.
You know, it's amazing. I mean, you'd think after reading the Bible for almost 38 years, it'd be kind of dry and stale and icky. And
it's not. Oh, no. It is fresh all the time.
Give us this day our daily bread symbolically.
Yes.
Like the manna in the wilderness. You only got a one-day supply of manna.
Exactly.
God keeps the word fresh.
Exactly.
Every day.
And he allows us sometimes just to open it and turn to exactly that perfect place. We're not looking for it.
Like that scripture with Jeannie. I mean,
yes.
I kind of knew where I wanted to look.
Right.
And God led me right to Psalm 73.
Perfect.
And again, that's bringing back into remembrance those things I've spoken to you. I mean,
yes.
I knew it was in there somewhere. Thought it was Psalm 73, and sure enough, there it was.
And
it was a perfect word for our lovely Jeannie.
Well, and that same thing happened to me with Jeannie yesterday morning, sitting by her bedside. For some of you that have heard us talk about her, she's been a part of Beacon of Hope for 10 years since we began. Faithful member, a trustee. She's had tremendous physical problems. Her kidneys have finally shut down. They cannot do dialysis any longer. And we've been, a lot of us, at her bedside for the last 3 weeks, really, on and off. And probably within a few hours, she'll be with the Lord. And we've really been giving her a send-off, you know, around her bed and whatever. And yesterday morning, I sat down very early beside her bed and opened my Bible. She was in a deep sleep. And I opened it to Psalm 116, just opened it. And this is an example of what the Holy Spirit does. And as I opened it, my eyes fell on the verse that said, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones," or his saints. And it just, like, oh, wow, just went all through me, the truth of that verse, that it is precious to take home a dear saint of God that has been such a strong warrior in our ministry for so long and such a person of faith as Jeannie has been, you know? And for God just to do that by me just sitting there beside her bed and opening to that, that's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, God will bring those words to your mind at just the right moment.
Yes.
You need them. I mean, sometimes it'll come to you just by the scripture. Sometimes a scripture song will pop in your
right.
head. But God will give you that that knowledge. I mean, you know, you read the word, he'll bring it back up into remembrance
yes.
for you and give you the word that's right for your situation
and
right now.
And that's the spirit of truth.
Amen.
That's the truth that comes to us, and the devil comes with the lies. John 10:10, Jesus said, we probably quote this verse almost every radio show. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief, which is Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I came to give you life,
And that in abundance.
Abundance. And when he brings a verse of scripture up off of the pages of your Bible and ministers that truth to your spirit, like he did yesterday for me on Psalm 116 for Jeannie and with you earlier in the week, it simply blesses our socks off, mm-hmm. doesn't it? Just to know that he's that intimately involved
well, yeah.
in our lives.
And cares that deeply.
Honey, that's good news.
Yeah, and cares
yes,
that much for us.
That's good news. Hallelujah. Oh, my. We got a whole lot more we're going to talk about in this next hour, Pastor Jim, on the spirit of truth and how our listening audience can learn to walk in that voice of truth, experience it for themselves, and what it really means on a daily basis. We're going to get really practical here in the next few moments. Station identification.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
They're knocking your socks off in there.
Yeah. What's that?
That's what you said earlier.
Knocking your socks off. That's right. I know. It does. Exactly.
So you think I'm not paying attention.
Paying attention. And that's why I have flip-flops on right now, because my socks are gone.
And they glow in the dark, ladies and gentlemen.
You don't tell on me. I have these bright yellow Crocs. They are really, I don't have them on today. Actually, I usually do, but today I have very sedate brown ones on. They're very comfortable. They do not glow in the dark. The others are bright yellow, like the color of Big Bird or something like that. So anyway, we are Beacon of Hope Ministries from Clearwater, Florida. That's our home base. We are 10 years this ministry. It'll celebrate 10 years in October. We're excited about everything that God is doing. This show is entitled Living the Good Life, and I'm Pastor Marcia with my associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury. And we've been having a wonderful talk here today. Mm-hmm. Pastor Jim, would you tell our listening audience about our prayer ministry and what that means for them and how vital it is to know that you have somebody that will go to the throne of God for you in prayer?
I would love to.
Please.
Yes, we do have a prayer ministry. So I want to talk about two aspects of it. One is if any of our listeners, if any of you have a prayer need and have a prayer request, and we have gotten these prayer requests from as far away as Australia.
Absolutely, and other countries.
Imagine.
Yeah.
Just send your prayer request to prayers, P-R-A-Y-E-R-S, at beaconofhopeministries.com. And what happens is either Alice or Deb or myself will pick up the prayer request.
Right.
We'll send it out to everybody with kind of an attached, we all kind of attach our little prayer to it. But it goes out across the country.
Right.
And, you know, we have people that will pray for you. Whatever
right.
your need is, we have people that will pray for you. And we pray in faith, believing
Amen.
That God will answer.
Woo.
And we have had incredible answers
Absolutely.
To prayer.
Absolutely. Healings. Oh, my. So many healings. Financial blessings. Jobs.
Exactly, yeah. We've had some great things happen. And the other aspect is if you'd like to be a part of it, again, prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. Just let us know. We, of course, would need your email address.
Right.
But, you know, if you're somebody who believes like we do that God answers prayer,
right.
that God heals, delivers, prospers, then, yeah.
We want to hear from
we
you.
We want to hear from you.
And send your requests, because,
no,
you know,
do.
There's no request that's too difficult, no request that's too small.
Right. Some people think, I don't want to send this in because it's insignificant. There's no insignificant.
If you have a hangnail, we need to hear about it.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
There's nothing too insignificant
Amen.
For God.
Amen.
Just like there's nothing too large. I mean, people usually think in that direction.
Right.
But there's nothing too insignificant.
Absolutely.
Either.
And, you know, we are a ministry that cares about not just our partners in this ministry, but, you know, the families of all of these people. And there's so many that have, extended families in different places that we hear from and ask for prayer. And so pass that email address along to family, friends, coworkers, and tell them when you're up against it, write an email to this prayer team and they will pray for you, which we will.
Amen.
Amen. Sunday mornings, we've got a new time coming up. You want to talk about that?
Oh, praise God. If you wrote down our old starting time for Sunday mornings, you might want to change it, because starting next Sunday, our morning service will begin at 10 a.m.
Yes. We're going back to that time. We were at 11 for a while to accommodate some people, but it is, with the radio show that we have every week, it's a real push for time. Mm-hmm. So we are going back to the 10 o'clock time on Sunday mornings.
Right, which is great. I'm personally, I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I would say, if you want to come for pre-church.
Right, pre-church is
that
fun.
Starts at 9. That's where the choir kind of practices. We pray.
Where we get wild, don't we?
We praise God.
Yeah, we get wild.
So we kind of have pre-church at 9 now, and then church at 10.
Right.
Now, Wednesday night, we also have Bible study.
What happens at Bible study? Would you tell our listeners about that?
We start out at 6:15 with prayer. We take prayer requests, praise reports, and again, we pray over them. We pray the word of God.
Amen. Yes,
and,
we do.
You know, then we start Bible study at 7. It's interactive, so bring a Bible and notepad. We share scriptures back and forth.
Right.
It's actually a lot like this.
What we're doing right now. Exactly, yeah.
We have kind of a theme. We talk about some scriptures. We kind of toss ideas back and forth.
It is a lot like our radio show.
It is a lot like the radio show, except it's...
It's interactive, a much bigger group, and we set up tables. People bring their dinner, because a lot of them come straight from work, and they get to be involved in the discussion, asking questions, even though right now we have email up, and you can send questions to pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com during the show. That is fine. But during Wednesday nights, it's a cool atmosphere, don't you think?
Yes.
It really is.
I love Wednesday nights.
It's fun. 3700 Almerton Road, Clearwater. We're in a new strip mall, the same strip mall that has Five Guys and some of those great restaurants, Poncheros,
Five Guys,
Greek restaurant.
Papa John's, we got a Greek restaurant.
It's a nice little brand new place, and we've been there a year right now, and we thank God for our little digs. They're not huge, but they meet our needs, so... you're welcome. And Sunday morning at 10, beginning this coming Sunday, and Wednesday night at 7 for Bible study. And always on Sunday afternoon live, our radio show.
Exactly.
So we remind you to tell somebody about it. Listen to this new song by Down Here. The name of it is Let Me Rediscover You. I think you're going to like this.
Your spirit hovers over my waters, your love burns longer than the sun. The skies of thunder echo your wonder, your praises can't be oversung. The whole universe is witness to only a part of what you've done. reveal to me the God I thought I knew.
Praise God, that is a great song. Woo, let me rediscover you. Dear listening audience, that's what it's all about. Let me rediscover you.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're in Acts chapter 1 now. We're talking about the Holy Spirit and Jesus after 40 days after the resurrection. During the 40 days after the resurrection, he went about talking to the disciples and teaching them, talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is Romans 10 or 14, 17. That's righteousness, peace, and joy. So he taught them in the Holy Spirit, and he taught them all those things. That's Romans 14, 17. And it says he went about doing that during those 40 days. At the end of the 40 days, he took the whole gang out to the Mount of Olives. Did he not? What happened out there, Pastor Jim? Well, Acts chapter 1, if you have your Bible.
Yeah, Jesus took them out to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples, like I said earlier, he was staying with them. He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem.
Right.
But to wait for the promise of the Father. So this
the
was
promise.
A promise. Joel chapter 2.
Joel chapter 2, a promise from hundreds of years before. Yes.
Which he said, you've heard of from me, for John baptized with water.
Right.
But you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.
Amen.
And so when they'd come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?
Right.
They still hadn't understood
that Jesus was getting ready to bolt and go back to heaven.
He said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority.
Right.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has
come
upon you.
Hallelujah.
And
Whoa.
You will be my witnesses in
You'll
Jerusalem,
be my witnesses. Amen.
And in all Judea and Samaria and
Amen.
To the ends of the earth.
Woo.
And when he'd said these things, while they were looking on, he was lifted up. A cloud took him from their sight.
So this is awfully significant, Acts chapter 1, that Jesus decides to remind them, hey, I've been teaching you the last few weeks about the friend, mm-hmm. the comforter, the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit that's going to be coming and descending on you. He even said in John 16, he's going to be on you and in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just on you. And I mentioned this morning, and I love this, that Graham Cook says, and we're pretty avid followers of the ministry of Graham Cook. And if you've never, you can download some of his CDs from iTunes, correct?
Yeah,
and they're great teaching. He's a British man, and he's just a wonderful man of God. And I love this teaching. I listened to it this week on my CD player in the car as I was driving, where he says the Old Testament was a visitation culture. Do you want to explain the difference between that and habitation culture? If you take notes, write that down. Old Testament visitation culture and New Testament habitation culture. Pastor Jim will explain it.
Well, I think that a way to explain it is in the Old Testament, God visited his people.
Kind of landed on them.
Yeah. In the New Testament, he inhabits
Amen.
His people by the Holy Spirit. In in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament times, under that covenant, the Holy Spirit could not indwell a person.
Right.
The Holy Spirit could come upon a person, could empower somebody.
Like David, Jeremiah, Samuel.
Prophets,
yes. They had visits from the Holy Spirit, and he came on them, even Saul.
And Saul
he visited
prophesied.
Them.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit said, came upon Saul, the first king of Israel, and Saul danced and prophesied.
Right.
and people were amazed.
Right.
And so there was that, but. And actually, there's something that Moses says back when the 70 elders were called up to eat with him and in God's
right.
presence. And the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were prophesying. And actually, two of the elders weren't there. They were down in the camp. Well, the Holy Spirit fell on them, too.
Right.
And I think it was Joshua said, tell them to stop. They're not up here with us. And Moses said, no. Oh, that God would send his Spirit to all, that all could prophesy.
Yes.
You know,
which is what we have that ability now.
Because now
this is habitation culture.
The reason is that Jesus had not gone to the cross.
Right.
Because in order for the Holy Spirit to live inside of us, we have to be cleansed from our sins.
Amen.
Not just have them rolled back.
That's right.
For a year, like
which is what it was in the Old Testament.
But to have them completely washed away, which is what Jesus has done for us.
Exactly.
And, I mean, Peter even says in the sermon that he gives on the day of Pentecost, because he was glorified, I'm paraphrasing, but because Jesus was glorified, that's why you're seeing this Holy Spirit manifestation being poured out.
Right, right.
You know, Jesus had to be glorified first, and then the Holy Spirit would be poured out.
And that's right.
That's what happened. And from the day of Pentecost forward, it's been a habitation culture, God inhabiting
yes.
his people by Ooh. The Holy Spirit.
Praise God. And so we can boldly go to the throne of grace for our petitions.
Right.
We can say, God, fill me up with your Holy Spirit. Baptize me. Please baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Like what happened with your college experience of asking God to do that. That same thing happened to me in my late 20s when I simply said, God, okay, there's got to be more than just salvation. I want all you have for me. And I began to pour through the book of Acts and begin to understand and speak.
That's a dangerous book.
Isn't it? Oh, and I began to really want all God had for me. And I wanted to be filled to capacity with him, you know, so I could give it away, you know, as Acts 1:8 says. Mm-hmm. So now we're at the Mount of Olives, and Jesus is getting ready to go to heaven. And so he says, don't go anywhere. Wait until, we kind of touched on this last week on the radio show, but it bears repeating. Wait until I send the promise of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Wait until I send the Holy Spirit, till the Father sends the Holy Spirit. Now, there was about, from the time Jesus went to heaven until the Holy Spirit descended was a 10-day period of time. 10 days. What were the disciples doing during those 10 days? And we have a clue in Acts chapter 1, down about verse 14.
It's right here. They went back to the upper room. Peter and John and James gives a list of the disciples. And all those with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women.
Right.
And Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers.
Okay, so what was this whole gang? And there were about 120, mm-hmm. basically, who gathered there. And it's interesting that they devoted themselves to prayer for 10 days.
I love the word devoted. It's not like I had my they had their daily devotions.
Yes, I love that word.
They devoted themselves, you know, and that's...
That means they stopped the rest of their life and said, okay, we're seeking the Lord.
For 10 days they did that. And, you know, I think of, sometimes it's hard for me to squeak out 3 minutes.
Well, this reminds me, Pastor Jim, back around the turn of the century, the 20th century, which would have been the 1900s, okay? At that time, there had been hundreds of years of not seeing much manifestation of the Holy Spirit around the world.
Right.
It was squelched. The Church of England had squelched it, and there was a lot of other things that we don't need to go into the history, but the Dark Ages. And
let's do.
You want to? Go ahead.
I love it.
Well, give them a recap of why the Holy Spirit wasn't moving.
Well, real briefly, starting in about the second century.
Right.
Because even I mentioned before the Didache, which was an ancient writing, probably written toward the end of the first century.
Right.
Talks about, even there, it talks about prophets and how to recognize a true and a false prophet. So they, you know, the ministry of the prophet was still in existence.
Yes.
But growing up alongside that was the hierarchy in the church.
Right. You know, the political.
You read the book of Acts.
Religious leaders.
Right. And so the bishop became the focus.
Right.
And for better or for worse, I mean, the bishop became the focus. So
the Pope.
The bishops of the different cities.
Okay.
And, you know, eventually that replaced the flowing of the Spirit and liturgies replaced the flowing of the Spirit in the church services and that. You know, you'd still periodically hear of it. I mean, St. Augustine, who was a firm believer of the Holy Spirit, didn't move anymore. Had to rethink because these people were getting healed, and he was bishop of the North African city of Hippo, and they started getting healed.
Woo, okay.
So, you know, what can you say? But other, I mean, sporadically down through the years, people.
There were moves of God.
There were moves of God. There were individual people, Francis of Assisi and some others who manifested gifts of the Holy Spirit. Starting in the 1800s, there were some movements in Scotland, the Irvingites and some others. The Holy Spirit began to move. And then finally, I mean, people were ready for it. I honestly believe because, you know, we as charismatics are like the great-great-grandchildren of John and Charles Wesley.
Right.
Because there was the Methodist Church, and out of the Methodist Church came the Holiness Movement.
Right.
Out of the Holiness Movement came the Pentecostal Movement. Out of that came the Charismatic Movement.
Right.
And in around the turn of the century, people were hungry.
Around the 1900s.
People began to study about 1900.
And they were saying, like you and I did, there's got to be more here than just salvation. What are we missing?
And they studied the book of Acts.
Right.
And they noticed one thing occurred every time in the book of Acts when people received the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
One thing occurred that sort of got swept under the rug for 1900 years or 1800 years. I was speaking in tongues.
Yes.
And on New Year's Eve, 1900.
Right. What an interesting date for that to happen.
They gathered. Charles Parham gathered his Bible students together.
In Kansas.
I believe it was Topeka.
Topeka, Kansas.
And they prayed, and one lady, Agnes Osman,
yes,
received the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, and the modern Pentecostal movement was born.
Right.
You know, and then the fire spread from there.
That brush fire.
A huge revival in Azusa Street in Los Angeles.
Yes, in Los Angeles. Went on for years.
Went on for years and spawned numerous denominations.
Right, yes.
You know, and then starting in the 1940s was the Latter Rain, the healing movement.
Right.
Out of that came Full Gospel Businessmen, where mainstream Christians began receiving the Holy Spirit in 1960-61. Reverend Dennis Bennett, Episcopalian priest, received the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. That's often seen as the start of the modern charismatic movement. Catholics begin receiving the Holy Spirit. Methodists began receiving.
Exactly.
Lutherans, Nazarenes.
All of it. It just kind of crossed the denominations. Yeah. It was the infilling of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Wow, that was a good history lesson. And it began with these 120 in agreement, in unity.
Yeah, and that's so important. You know,
in the upper room.
Right.
For 10 days. And they didn't know exactly what was about to happen. They knew they were waiting on the Holy Spirit. I would imagine there were some times that they might have been thinking, what do you think it's going to be? What is going to be like, you know?
Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to happen when the Holy Spirit gets poured out?
But see, Jesus had promised them up in Acts chapter 1 right there that wait for the power. The dynamite, and that word was dunamis. Do you want to describe that Greek word that he promised?
It means power. It's where we get our word dynamite.
Dynamite.
And that's kind of how powerful it is. It's like having, as you say, a keg of dynamite go off inside of you, and that's what's about to happen to these 120.
That's right. And they wait, and they agree that they are ready for the friend, the Spirit of Truth, to descend on them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in agreement there for 10 days. They're just praying and believing. And just like that group in Topeka, Kansas in 1900, actually 1899, they were believing God, right? It was New Year's Eve. Or was it New Year's Eve of 1900? Okay,
it was New Year's Eve. That's right. January 1st, 1901.
1901, you're exactly right. So anyway, so here's this group, and they are believing God, and they are allowing the Holy Spirit and God to work in their mm-hmm. hearts and to clean them up. You know, they're just, you know, when you're seeking God, you're going, okay, God, is there anything in me that's keeping me from? I believe that was kind of the attitude of their hearts.
Right. I think they were really searching God, searching for God, and maybe searching their own hearts.
Right.
To see if there was anything that maybe would stop the flow.
Right. Which We didn't plan this.
It's a wonderful segue.
Look at this. Our song here, Search Me, O God, by Hillsong. Listen up.
I come before you with my life. Bring to you unworthy sacrifice. Take me to the place where I know your glory dwells. Bring me near, bring me
on before I thought he did there. Woo! All right. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we were, Pastor Jim and I were just talking about the excitement that we feel studying the Holy Spirit and reminding of ourselves how these 120 in that very first group, what attitude they must have had. Because in verse 14 of Acts 1, it says they agreed they were in this for good. This is what it says in the Message Bible. Completely together in prayer. The women included, they were together on this, and they were like, okay, we don't know what you got coming up, God, but we're in it. We want it.
We're in for the long haul, Lord. We're in it for good. And they prayed in one accord, and
yes.
I think this was the first and needed to only be the last tarrying meeting.
Right.
Because I think they were seeking God and show me, Lord, if there's anything inside me.
Yeah.
Because they did not have the benefit of having the Holy Spirit yet.
Right.
You know,
not for 10 more days,
not for a few more days. Yeah.
And then, what exciting 10 days those must have been.
I know.
You think they put that together, that it was on the day of Pentecost, that it would hit on the 50th day?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if they did or not.
There's no indication that they did.
I'm sure that afterwards they knew.
Right.
Because I'm sure they put it together afterwards. Because remember the teaching that I did on the festivals,
yes.
The feasts.
Yes.
On the first day of Pentecost, according to which was traditional when the law was given,
right.
On Mount Sinai, what happened? They made the golden calf and 3,000 people died.
Right.
On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was given, 3,000 got saved.
Got saved.
You know, you don't.
Redemption.
Right. Redemption has come. And
wow.
I mean, that's just amazing. So I'm pretty sure they put that together afterwards.
Yeah.
Because the law, the spirit.
Right.
You know, both happen on the day of Pentecost.
Right. So just fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, it's hard to know because they, I'd like to ask Peter when we get to heaven.
Okay, you ask him and then come over and tell me what
Mary
he says.
Or somebody. What was, we know what they did. We know that they also filled up the number of the apostles.
Right.
They got Matthias in.
Right.
And another curious thing, that's the last time in the Bible you'll see where they cast lots.
Yeah, from then on, they started listening to the Holy Spirit within
exactly.
them. They didn't have to do that anymore. John 14, where Jesus says, let me tell you about the friend, the spirit of truth, where we started out talking today. It starts in about John 14, verse 15, where he says, the spirit of truth is coming. I'm sending him to you. He describes that Greek word there for the friend, the Holy Spirit is Parakletos.
Mm-hmm.
And it has seven meanings. And we said we'd go over them again. And I memorized them alphabetically. So I want you to amplify on them as I give them. Advocate.
Lawyer.
Okay. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Why would we need a lawyer?
Well, because guess who's accusing us before the Father?
Right. So we need that, the Holy Spirit, to remind us of the blood of Jesus.
Accuses us before the Father and accuses us to ourselves.
That's right. And so the Holy Spirit is our advocate.
It's our defense lawyer, basically.
Defense lawyer. The second one, there are two C's, comforter and counselor. You want to comment on those? These are the nature of the Holy Spirit. Everybody get this clear. There's seven, which is God's number, seven meanings of the word Parakletos, which is friend or Holy Spirit. Go ahead.
And oddly enough, if I'm just going to toss this in the
Please
book of
do.
Revelation, talks about the seven spirits before the throne.
It certainly does.
The NIV translates it sevenfold spirit.
That's right. And this is it right here.
Yeah.
This is it.
Well, comforter.
Comforter.
Someone who just gives us comfort when
Amen.
We need it. I mean, when things go wrong,
right.
when we have hurts, we need comforted.
Grief.
And the Holy Spirit, yes.
Losing our dear Jeannie
Losing
right now.
Jeannie.
Yes, the comfort of the Holy
we
Spirit.
We need the comfort of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Because that comfort restores to us our joy.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's why he's called the Comforter.
Yeah.
He's our counselor because heaven knows we
he's
need
He's the
God's,
very best counselor,
yeah, we
too.
We need God's wisdom.
And he's free. You don't have to spend $100
right.
bucks an hour.
Right. Well, and we need God's wisdom.
We do, yes.
We need wise counsel.
Right.
And so he is our counselor.
He's our counselor.
He's the one who gives us that wisdom.
Ooh, helper.
Who doesn't need help? Oof.
Right. Alongside everything that
right.
we do. He comes alongside to help. That's
right.
what his
that's,
name
that's,
means.
And that's literally what the Greek is. One called alongside
Side
to help. So he's right with us as we walk, helping us, maybe holding us up when
right.
we need held up, maybe helping to slow us down, maybe prodding us to go a little
well,
faster.
There's times we don't know how to do something. Maybe it's something at work. Maybe
mm-hmm.
it's something... a situation and a personal relationship or something that you don't know how to work
right.
out the problems. And the counselor comes and gives you that kind of information. Say this or try this
right.
or take this approach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, isn't that wonderful? I mean, the helper, the counselor, all these go, they're hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
The intercessor.
Well, Paul amplifies on that ministry in Romans chapter 8. I mean, we need so often somebody to stand
yes.
in our place.
Yes, we do.
To intercede between
right.
us and the Father.
Woo.
And the Holy Spirit does that. And,
yes.
you know, Paul writes, he does it with groanings too deep for words.
Right.
I mean, words can't even express some of our needs. But the Holy Spirit will do that. And he does intercede before the Father
oh,
for us.
It's wonderful. And the last two begin with S's. Strengthener and standby.
Well, strengthener. Well, they
wow.
both. And standby both. Pretty self-explanatory. Well, we sang this morning, he gives strength to me as I worship him.
Right.
Oh.
Doesn't he?
I love that song.
I love that song, too. And it's just so true.
Right. Right. And he does give strength
right.
To us. And because sometimes we think the task is too great for us. But how else could we say and believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me?
Exactly.
Because if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit.
And he does. He brings that strength just when we need it.
Well, I was thinking of you and Madeline and Deb and Alice last night with Jeannie. You got that extra oomph of strength.
To get through.
The concept of strength, again, is kind of related to that dunamis thing, too. We may need strength in order to share the gospel.
Right. Sometimes we need strength, physical strength. Maybe you've had an injury or you have a physical problem and you need renewed strength in your physical body or emotionally. A lot of times people are beat down emotionally and they need strength.
Emotional strength.
Emotional strength to be able to get through their situation. The standby. He's always, you know, like in the radio, standby, you're ready to air, you know.
He's right there. Ready to go.
Let's hear that, Bill. How does that go?
Standby. Standby, America. It's living the good life.
There we go. Okay, thank you. That's what we're talking about. And when you're saying somebody stands by, they're right there ready. They're not going anywhere. They're ready to do what they can do to help you.
Exactly.
You know, isn't that powerful? So that's the Paracletos, and that's what they were waiting on. So we go to Acts chapter 2, and we know the story. We talked about it last week when the Feast of Pentecost came. This is Acts 2, verse 1. They were all together in one place. They had not given up the ship. You know, their 10 days of waiting. You know, isn't that cool? And without warning.
And may I make the point,
please, too? Make the point.
These are the same bunch of people.
Right.
At least 11 of them were.
Right.
That Jesus said just 50 days before, could you not pray with me 1 hour?
Exactly.
You know, and here they are. They got worn 10 out. Days in prayer.
10 days in prayer. Boy, it's something drastic has happened. Mm-hmm. And the drastic thing that's happened is that Jesus has come out of the tomb, the resurrected Lord. And they know that their lives will never be the same again. Mm-hmm. And now they are devoting themselves
to prayer.
To prayer and teaching. And all of this. And here is what this world is sadly needing right now. People who will devote themselves to prayer. People who will say, I'm serious about God filling me to overflowing with his Holy Spirit within me. Acts chapter 2. What are your comments there, Pastor Jim, about the day of Pentecost?
Seatbelts. Here he comes.
Here he comes.
You know, they were all gathered in one place. And Pentecost, remember, was one of the three pilgrim feasts.
Right.
Deuteronomy 16:16. The three times a year, all your males must appear before the Lord.
Right.
One of them was Pentecost. So Jerusalem, again, was crowded with people.
What a wonderful thing for the Holy Spirit to descend on the day when everybody's there. There's no doubt about it. Something's going on.
So, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. Most of the times, you know, you think there was a wind. It just says there was a sound. Okay? There wasn't like the wind blew, but there was a sound. I can imagine like, you know, a loudness, like a tornadic sort of sound.
In the Message Bible, it says, without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole house and the whole building.
Yeah, it filled the whole place where they were sitting.
Wow.
And divided tongues as of fire.
Right.
Fell upon each of them.
Wow.
You know, rested on each of them.
That's wild.
Yeah, that's incredible.
they're looking at each other and they got fire on their heads.
Yeah, I believe it truly was a manifestation of the glory of God.
Absolutely.
And they all spoke
in
tongues.
Remember the burning bush?
Yeah.
You know, the glory of God where Moses sees, you know, that glory.
The Shekinah glory.
And the bush with Moses did not burn up.
And neither did the apostles.
The apostles didn't burn up either. That glory, it was just a symbol. God loves to use fire as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. I love that. Because what does fire do?
It purifies. And it says they all began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that says there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from under every heaven, because it was Pentecost, all the pilgrims were there.
Right.
And, I mean, we got people from Rome, which, you know, from as far west as Rome and as far east as Parthia.
Right.
And everywhere in between. And they're going, wait a minute. They're talking in my language.
Right.
So there would have been, you know, Latin and Parthian and Persian and, you know, Arabic,
all these different languages.
All these Egyptian. And I mean, I'm just looking at my little map here in my study Bible. Phrygian, all these different languages going
amazing.
On. And they were all saying the same thing. They're praising God, giving glory to God.
I love that, verse 11. They're speaking our languages, and then this is so important, describing God's mighty works. Mm-hmm. They were. It wasn't gibberish.
Right.
It was a language,
was
and
a
the
language.
Language was saying, God is wonderful, he's mighty, he's the healer, he's all of these things that they were saying about God.
Well, and it's so funny, they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others, mocking, said,
right.
They're full of new wine.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Peter says, wait a minute, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're not drunk.
And then he gives his first sermon.
Just drunk in the Holy Spirit.
Just drunk in the Holy, and we've all been there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then he gives this marvelous sermon. The first thing he does is
Acts
point
chapter
out,
2.
Yeah, the first thing he does in verse 16 is, it's, okay, we're not drunk, but this is what Joel talked about.
Right.
He quotes from Joel about the promise of the Father.
Amen.
He says, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
Woo.
And
all
this
flesh.
Is it.
That's every. This is that. It mm-hmm. says in the Old King James, I think. This is that.
This is that.
It's Joel 2, 28 to 32, if you want to look it up and read it, because it was prophesied hundreds of years
exactly.
before this happened.
Exactly.
Jesus always does. God always does that.
Yeah.
Go
and
ahead.
And Peter used that opportunity. First of all, said, okay, this is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is what happened. He preached the death and resurrection of Jesus. And then, I love it when this whole big crowd heard it. And I would encourage our listeners to read Acts chapter 2, especially Peter's sermon. Because
absolutely.
He hits on the prophecies.
Yes.
How Jesus fulfilled the prophecies.
Right.
And it says here in... Well, start with verse 36. He ends his sermon by saying, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain
yes.
that God has made him, Jesus, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when the crowd heard this, they were cut to the heart. I think King James says, pricked at the heart.
Right.
And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do?
They wanted to know what they could do about the fact that they had killed Jesus.
Right. They were convicted of their sins.
Absolutely.
What do we do? And Peter said, okay, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy
and
Spirit.
And you'll receive the gift.
That's a pattern throughout the book of Acts.
Yes.
Repent and believe, water baptism, Holy Spirit
Holy
baptism.
Holy Spirit
you
baptism.
You see that repeated time and time again.
Absolutely. It's part of the package.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the devil has worked overtime in churches for hundreds and hundreds of years to try to keep people from receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the reason that is where your power is. And when we, as soon as this song is over, we're going to talk about that as we wrap the show up today. This is another one of our favorite songs by Hillsong.
Oh, I love this song.
Power of Your Love.
Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed. Renew. Will be stripped away.
Praise God. What a great song.
Wonderful.
Power of your love.
Love
and
that
it's
song.
The power of our love for God that causes us to say, God, give me all you have mm-hmm. for me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. The power of our love. You know, draw me close. Never let me go. You know, I mean, that's what it's all about. And when we experience what these disciples experienced on the day of Pentecost, which we can, and you and I have, and most of our church at Beacon of Hope has, what this is all about is saying, Holy Spirit, I want all you have for me.
Right.
And the power of your love for, I love you so much, I want all you have for me, God. And I want to give that away to other people. I want the power to be able to give that away. Woo! What do you have to say to all that?
Well, that's what Peter did, and it started mm-hmm. in Jerusalem.
Yes, on the day of Pentecost.
Following Acts 1, verse 8, it started in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We know it spread into Judea.
Right.
Thanks to Saul, when he persecuted the church, it spread to Samaria.
Right.
And even from Saul's persecution, you know, here's Saul trying to wipe out the church. First, it gets to the Samaritans.
Right.
And then they go to Antioch and start preaching to the Gentiles.
Right.
So, you know.
And they're just giving it out. They're witnessing. They're becoming his witnesses, just
right.
like they said.
Just like
Jesus said, you're going to have the power to be my witnesses.
And sure enough, they did. And
right.
the gospel spread from the Jews in Judea.
Right.
To Samaria, to the Jews in Galilee, up to Antioch, to the Jews in Antioch, and to the Gentiles.
Right. It just spread like a brush fire, like
yeah.
you said earlier.
Yeah.
You know,
and
it
then,
just spread because then, people were excited about what they had found out.
And then Paul got saved.
Right.
And took it even further, took it all the way to Rome.
Right. And here we are sitting 2,000 years later.
Taking it all around the world.
Taking it around the world with the benefit of technology. And the gospel is being spread around the world mm-hmm. by so many wonderful people that are out there that are dedicated to getting the good news
right.
of the gospel out there and changing lives, getting people saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you are one of those that have never really understood this, I hope today's show will help you. You can actually go back as of tomorrow afternoon. It'll be on our website indefinitely from now till Jesus comes. So you can listen to this over and over again till you understand it and get it down on the inside of you.
Right.
This gift of the Holy Spirit is for all of us, is
right.
it not?
Well, and Peter says for the...
back in the Joel passage.
Well, and in Acts chapter 2, he says... Peter said, repent, be baptized, in the name of Jesus, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise
yes.
is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself.
That's all of us.
That's all of us.
Okay? If you want to be filled with this dynamite power keg... And that's really what it's all about. It's a decision that, number
yes.
one, I think it starts with understanding what it is you're getting and asking for,
mm-hmm.
which that's what we've been doing today on the show. And then when you get this understanding, you realize that this is where the power comes from. Then we're going to start teaching like we are. We're in a series right now on Wednesday nights, teaching about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because once you receive this power, the dunamis, the power keg, to be God's witnesses, then God begins to use you in his sometimes one or more, or you will have at least one, of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And these gifts minister to people the grace of God, the truth of God, and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith,
right.
miracles, healing, all of these things that we will talk more about next Sunday night on the show. But the truth is that I have yet to see people truly flow in those 9 gifts if they're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've seen probably a little touch of it maybe in some people, but the full manifestation of those gifts of the Holy Spirit comes after you are baptized
exactly.
in the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. I fully agree. And yeah, I think that's another thing that Satan is another lie people have believed is that the gifts are something spooky.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
mysterious
not like
and kooky. You know, it's all together hooky. You know, like the Addams Family.
Right, exactly.
But they're not. I mean, it's the gifts of God.
Oh, they're wonderful.
Those spiritual gifts are to show forth God's majesty, God's love, God's nature.
Yes, his nature,
all
his direction.
In 1 Corinthians 12 are to show off God's nature to us so that people will come to know God.
Absolutely. Today, as people were coming up for prayer at the end of our service at Beacon of Hope, one lady was standing there, and I was holding her hands, and I was beginning to pray for her, and suddenly it switched into a word of prophecy for her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a gift of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And it comes from being submitted to God, being in love with God, saying, fill me up to overflowing with all you have for me. That's what it's all about. And it comes from the power of his love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where we're at with it. Let's put that song, Power of His Love, that last one back on a little lower. And I want to talk over it for a moment. Dear ones, God wants to do something in you today that he's probably never, ever had the opportunity to do, because maybe you never understood this. If you are already filled with the Holy Spirit, then that's great. And step out in the things of the Holy Spirit and learn more and get into your Bible. If you are not filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, if you are simply saved and know that you belong to Jesus and he lives on the inside of you, but you want this fullness of the Holy Spirit, let's agree in prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, Pastor Jim and I come before you in a prayer of agreement for our listeners who maybe have just understood this today for the very first time. And it is rooted in your great love for us and our great love for you. And Lord, right now, we ask that if there are those in our listening audience that want to be filled up with the power of the Holy Spirit and be baptized in the Holy Spirit, that they would take that step of faith right now, wherever they are, driving down the road or listening on their computer or wherever they might be, Lord, that they would take that step of faith and say, Dear Jesus, because he's the Holy Spirit baptizer, Jesus, I ask you to baptize me now with your Holy Spirit. I want you to come all over me and fill me up with your love, your peace, your joy. I want you to fill me up with your essence right now. And I want you to give me that prayer language that I might pray in tongues, that I might be able to have that powerful way of praying in my life. If that is your prayer, tell God that right now and receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit right now by faith this moment. Amen. By the power of your love. Praise you, Jesus. Draw me close. Let your love surround me, mighty God. Amen. Oh, praise God. We want to hear from you if you prayed that prayer.
Amen.
We want to hear from you, and you can write us at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com.
Amen.
Woo, powerful day. Pastor Jim, this did not go the way I thought it would.
You know what?
Woo, glory
That's
to God.
Okay.
What'd you start to say?
Well, I was just going
to
add, if you have any questions.
Yes.
About, and if any of our listeners have any questions, I would just encourage you to, you know, email them to Pastor Marcia, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. We'll answer your questions.
We'll answer.
I think there might be a lot of questions.
Sure. And go back and listen to the show again.
Amen.
It'll be on our website by tomorrow afternoon. And go back and listen to it, and I think it'll make more sense to you.
Right.
Some final thoughts, Pastor Jim, for those out there who are going, wait a minute, I really thought that when I got saved, that's all God had for me. Do you have a comment to that?
Well, it's somebody who found out 37 years ago, there's so much more that God has for each one of us.
Right.
And I just want to encourage, you know, if maybe you're in a comfortable place, just
right.
ask God to give you a hunger. And
Amen.
Yeah, it's taking a big step because
right.
that can be a dangerous sort of prayer, but believe me, the benefits...
Dangerous in a good way.
Dangerous in a good way.
Yeah.
And because the benefits of being filled with the Holy Spirit are just so amazing.
You begin to want the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right, and begin to move in them, and we'll talk more about that next week on this show. Mm-hmm. Woo! This was a great segue into the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Wonderful.
Pastor Jim, you're just such a blessing. To each of you, thank you for being on today. And to each of you out there who do not have a home church and you're in the Tampa Bay area, or you've been seeking more of God, we welcome you to Beacon of Hope Amen. Ministries. We're a real variety of people, and we like it that way. So you are welcome. Come on Sunday morning at 10, not 11, starting this Sunday,
right.
10 o'clock. Wednesday night, Bible study is at 7. And, of course, go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and go back and listen to this show again and some of the others of the last few weeks. It'll all make sense to you. It's not far from here to Jesus, and praise God. I love that song for an ending, because it just takes us right back mm-hmm. to the source of everything. Jesus is the Holy Spirit baptizer. Jesus is the Savior of our souls. He's our deliverer. He's our healer.
He's our Lord.
He's our Lord. God bless you. Have a great week. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister and Pastor Jim Ellsbury from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. Same, we're so glad you joined us today. Tell somebody about this show and to encourage them to listen so they can learn
Amen.
The Word. And that's our desire for you, is that you learn the Word and get stronger each day. It's not far to Jesus. We will see you next Sunday at 4 o'clock, 10 o'clock at our Beacon of Hope location in Tampa Bay, if you're around. 10 o'clock next Sunday morning, 4 o'clock on the radio. God bless you. Have a great week. See you soon. It's not far to Jesus. Amen.